tempting sometimes for us to think we live in a world that is very different from the world of the Bible, a place of more hurt, more challenges, more complications. And in some ways, of course, things are very different. But I really believe that the basics of our lives are still the same as those who lived all those hundreds and thousands of years ago. We face many of the same challenges. People we love die. We have strife in our families. We have enemies. We are challenged by the judgments of others. We struggle to forgive. Think all the way back to the very beginning, to that beautiful garden. God created this perfect world with only one temptation. And what happened? We fell into that temptation. When we are often tempted to think that our lives would be better if all the temptations we have were removed, remember that scene in the garden with Adam and Eve. Even in a world that is almost perfect, we're prone to find whatever it is that we're not supposed to do. We are sinners. Think about Cain, who killed his brother Abel. Think about Joseph's brothers, who tricked him and sold him into slavery and told his father that he was dead. Think about Judas betraying Jesus and Peter denying him. Think about all the times that people came to Jesus and he said to them, "Your sins are forgiven." Our social problems are as old as time. Sin is a part of life, and I bet we all know that those who are closest to us can cause us the most pain, even as they bring us the most joy. I think a lot about what makes my life different than so many people in our world who aren't followers of Jesus. There are lots of good people in this world who aren't Christians, people who are kind and loving and giving of their time and money to serve others, but people who don't go to church. I think about what is the difference it makes for me to be a Christian. And one of the main things that I always come back to are the words of the gospel lesson we heard today. "But I say to you, love your enemies. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." This is Jesus' direction for us, for social wellness. To have good relationships with others, we need to be loving, giving, as thoughtful of their needs as we are of our own, and forgiving of when they hurt us. As anyone out there who has had a relationship with others knows, and that's all of us, that is not always easy to do. In fact, loving, giving, forgiving, treating others as they would treat us, sometimes those are the hardest things for us to do. From the playground, to the office, to our kitchen, we are hurt and we hurt others. We forgive others and we are forgiven. We are selfish and we are giving. We're blessed and we are a blessing to others. The good news is, in our loving, our giving, our forgiving, we are not in it alone. We love because God loves us. We have the ultimate example of love in Jesus Christ. I don't think it's possible for us to always love as big as he did. We are humans, after all, and not God. But sometimes all we have to go on is that love that Jesus offers us. We have to put our trust in that and remember that no matter how we mess up or how someone else messes up, that love is always there for us through Christ. The most loving people I know are those who know what it's like to be loved, whether it's by their families, by their friends, or by God. The more you feel loved, you can love others. And you all are so loved by God that he died to show you how big his love for you is. loving others truly does become easier when we think about how much God loves us and others. I have experienced this many times when I've struggled to love someone. And we all have people that we struggle to love. That is nothing new. We all have people who might be kind of like an enemy to us. And even our enemies are offered the grace and love of Jesus, who opened his arms on the cross to draw the whole world to himself. In our relationships, we're also required to be giving. Giving of our time, to help our friends, to help care for our families. You know what I think one of the biggest sacrifices we can make for others is? Helping them move. And my parents are here today. They've helped me move many, many times. Thanks, Dad and Mom. But I want to tell a story about the last time we moved into our current house. We were moving from Brian's condo, and we also had a storage unit because I had moved out of my condo, and we had to move all of our things into our new house. And our families were there helping us, as always, and we had just gotten to my storage unit and had our truck there to fill up, and I opened up the doors, and I thought, oh, man, this is a lot of stuff. It's going to be a long day. And just a few minutes after that, someone comes pulling into the driveway of the storage center, and it was Brian's friends, Aubrey and Jen. And I didn't know they were coming to help us move, but they showed up with their truck, and they helped us all day moving our stuff into our new house. And just seeing them pull in meant so much to me that they would come and give their time and energy to help us out. And that has always helped me to feel a very special bond and closeness with them, that they were so selfless and giving of their time for us. Jesus also said, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you." So if Aubrey and Jen ever move, we will be there. That golden rule is practiced by so many, but Jesus challenges us to go beyond just treating others as we would want them to treat us. He also challenges us to sometimes treat people better than they treat us, or better than they deserve. Loving those that the world doesn't expect to, people like our enemies, or those who harm us, or even those who can't repay us, these are things that I think really distinguish us as followers of Jesus. Don't judge, forgive, and leave the judging to God. Trust that God will provide. When we do this, God gives us more blessings than we can imagine. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." What we give God will be returned, but it will be even more than we can hold. It's like that cup running over that we hear about in Psalm 23. When we give to God and when we give to others, it takes risk. But God helps us through that. That passage we heard today from Ruth is probably familiar to a lot of you as one that's read often at weddings. But it's not words that are said from a husband to a wife, but from a daughter to her mother-in-law. Ruth had been married to Naomi's son, who died, along with Naomi's husband and her other son. Because all of the men had died, the women were left vulnerable, with no man to protect or care for them. And in that world, that was a huge deal. Today, we should be thankful that women are now better able to care for themselves if something like that happens. Orpah, who is Naomi's daughter-in-law, leaves to go back to her home to find a new husband. And I know you're all thinking of it, Oprah and Orpah are connected. Oprah was named after Orpah, but they misspelled her name on her birth certificate. But Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, pledges to stay with her mother-in-law. She won't leave her alone as an older woman who has no chance of remarrying. She won't leave her alone to fend for herself. Ruth sticks with her, and eventually, with Naomi's help, Ruth finds a very kind new husband named Boaz. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David, an important part of the lineage of Jesus because of her faithfulness to her mother-in-law and to God. Ruth could have run, but she put her trust in God and stuck by Naomi to help her. God is the same way. God sticks by us. God does not abandon us. He never stops forgiving us when we ask. God loves us even when we hurt God. God blesses us throughout our lives, sometimes when we least expect it or feel we deserve it. I saw this quote this week that I thought was fit really well with this sermon. When we are hurt, it's hard to heal. It's hard to love our enemies and those who've hurt us or those who owe us. But this quote said, God is bigger than your past, your depression, your pain. God is bigger than your hate, your anger, your doubt. God is bigger than your fear, your shame, your eating disorder. God is bigger than your anxiety, your loneliness, or your scars. God is bigger than this world. Sometimes it can be challenging to be forgiving, to be loving, but we do it with God. God is bigger than our pain and even our enemies. And I thank God for that. I thank God for His love that allows me to love and forgive others. Take a moment of silent prayer and reflection to thank God for loving us so much and to pray for help in the relationships where you need to be a little more loving and forgiving. Amen.